Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, and let's start at verse 10. It says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Heavenly Father, we come again before you. Please help us, Lord. Help us in this service. Those listening, please open their hearts and eyes that they would see Jesus Christ. And Lord, for me, I ask that you'd help me. Help me to preach what I believe that you've given me. And again, we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the glory, honor, and credit. And in his mighty name we pray, amen. We talked last time about the temptation of Jesus Christ. I think we actually took two services to get to this point. But it's important to remember from last time that, as I just read, Satan was defeated. His queries, his temptations, his attacks were defeated and answered when Jesus turned to the Word of God and said, "It is written thus and so." I've said it before, I'll reiterate it again. It's important to turn to the Word of God. When things go bad, girlfriend left, lost your job, dog ran away, what have you, many people turn to fellowship. Not Christian fellowship, but hey, let's just, you know, go hang out with the friends. And there's alcohol, or maybe drugs, which is stupider. I understand alcohol. Drugs are stupid. We turn to Oprah, maybe. We turn all different places. But as the hymn goes, what a friend we have in Jesus. And the Bible, I guess the hymn is from it. It says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your answer. Look to him. You say, what can Jesus do for me? Well, that's interesting. Let's continue on with the message and we'll see. But again, when Jesus was in trouble, he said, "It is written." And he knew the word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." He knew the Word of God and turned to it in his heart, in his mind, and he had an answer for the various temptations. He turned to the Word of God, and that's what you should do. You know, when trouble comes, people do turn to God a little bit. They turn to church or whatever. They'll maybe get the Bible and they'll fumble around. They don't know what to do. You know, you ought to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. When they have Sunday school and you are a new Christian, maybe you ought to go to Sunday school. Maybe come to church. You know, I have a radio program. Chances are, if you're listening, you're not in this room. You're somewhere listening to me on the radio. I try to teach the Word of God to the best of my ability. I struggle very hard to get it right. Find a church that gets it right and attend. Ask the pastor for help. Ask the deacon for help. But learn the Word of God. Learn the things of God. Learn how to act in your heart. You know, many churches that tell you how to act in church, I don't care about that. Act any way you want in church, but learn how to act in your heart. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about, to learn how to act in your heart. When life comes at you, you have an answer. But again, you have to know the Bible. But it says in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Three temptations, and then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. He had not eaten in 40 days. He was in the desert. And we understand what the desert in the Middle East is like. Every one of us knows. We've seen it on TV. Maybe we have friends or a relative that served over there. We understand what the desert's like. That's what he was in. Didn't have any food. I don't know where he found water. 40 days, 40 nights. And after he's beaten down and almost half dead, I suppose, then the devil comes. Not when he's on the mountain, figuratively speaking, but when he's down in the valley. You know, you're in church, you're singing the praises of God, and I'm very thankful for the presence of God we had earlier in the song service. The devil doesn't come to tempt you then. He comes to tempt you on Monday or Tuesday when they lay you off or something, and then the devil hits you. But 40 days, 40 nights, no food. Then the temptation, he answers three times, it is written. And he says, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here, devil. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You know, he's the Son of God. I understand. I don't know what happened there. It doesn't record much. It says the angels came and ministered unto him. Maybe, just maybe, they brought him food or water or something. I don't know. Maybe they came to talk with him. But we have evidence, the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah came and talked with him. I don't know what happened. But I know one thing that did happen. The presence of God was there. The comfort of God was there. You know, you can read this or that book of the Bible, and there, each of these books tells a story. And there's backstory to it. 2 Corinthians talks about the things that Paul and the others suffered. They went through a pretty rough patch. But it says that God comforted them. The Spirit of God touched their hearts and comforted them. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician to be found. God helps us. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes, you know, it seems like God's a million miles away. But if you trust Him, if you stand on the Word of God, you believe Him, then God will come through. And you'll know it in your heart. You'll sense the presence of God in your heart. And I believe that that's what verse 11 here is talking about. But let's go on. In the previous chapter, we read about and studied extensively about John the Baptist, that pointed his finger and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This chapter also mentions John, and later chapters make reference to John. But it says in verse 12, now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison for preaching the gospel. That could happen in this country. I don't know. It does happen in other countries. In China, it's common for pastors to end up spending 5, 10, 20 years in prison. And they get out. They go back home. They kind of rest up a bit. But then Sunday comes and they find a pulpit. They're ready to preach again. In Egypt, you know, you can talk about the Arab Spring all you want, but the fact is, that wasn't a good thing. The lid was taken off of that boiling kettle and it's boiling over. They kill Christians just simply for being Christians in Egypt. There's a brand new country, just a few months old, called South Sudan. They broke with the rest of Sudan because they were tired of persecution from the Muslims. And they said, we want a Christian nation. And of course, you know, the terrorists follow them. But they said, no, we want our own nation. If you think that persecution doesn't happen in the world, you're a fool. And I hope not, but it could happen here. But Jesus heard that John was cast into prison. And when he heard it, it says he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth in verse 13, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is on the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, or Naphtali. Okay, fine. Jesus went from one place to the other. But in verse 14, and this is important, he went to Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Get that. He went from one place to another, that it might be fulfilled, that the prophet Isaiah said. Specifically, it's chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. He went from one place to another. It was said hundreds of years before, maybe 1,000 years before, I don't know the exact date, it was prophesied that he would do that, to the effect that people that were in spiritual darkness, they saw a great light. That light was Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. People that sat in great darkness saw a great light. Jesus came to their country. Jesus came to their neighborhood, let's say. It says that they were in the shadow of death, but light sprung up. Without Jesus, you're in spiritual darkness. I could go through the Roman road, but the wages of sin is death. If you don't know God, in John chapter 3, verse 17, it says you're condemned already because you haven't believed in Jesus Christ. It's not popular to say. I can name preachers that are afraid to say it. But if you die without Jesus, you end up in hell. Not popular. You go in some churches, you can feel the arrows from the congregation flying toward you. You can feel it in your spirit. You can feel the opposition. But I want to tell you that if you're not in the ark of safety, if you're not in Christ, or if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your end is hell. Do everything you can to miss it. But this great light that the people saw, it says in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. He began to preach. He didn't campaign. He didn't have a church bake sale. He didn't do a lot of things. He did the foolish thing, which was to preach the gospel. God chose the foolishness of preaching. This is God's way. This is God's method, is to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that sounds just like what John said. In the previous chapter, he said, repent, you brood of vipers, etc. Repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission or the washing away of sins. Repent. So Jesus, he starts his ministry, and the first thing he says was, repent. In the book of Revelation, when this thing all winds up, he says, repent. When Jonah went to Nineveh and preached that judgment was coming, what did the people do? They repented. We need to repent. The sinner, the crackhead, needs to repent. The choir director needs to repent. Everyone needs to repent and say, Lord, I'm wrong. To repent means to turn around if you're walking in sin, to turn around 180 degrees and walk out the other way. You have to have a change. Change in your mind, change in your purpose, change in your lifestyle. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a foolish, foolish, foolish message. 2,000 years, it's not been proven right yet. But foolish though it may be, the gospel message is, part of it is that Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's going to upset everyone's apple cart. Politicians, they're going to be thrown out of office, all of them. Period. End of story. No more politicians. He'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. You thought you could get away with it. Well, trust me, everything that you did in secret is going to be shouted from the housetops. In that day, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He'll split the eastern sky, it says. And all what you thought you had going on, trust me, everyone will know what you did. You need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I've said before that the book of Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews, a king that comes to his kingdom to take account. And we'll see various references to that as we study this book. But this is another witness of that fact. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But in verse 18 it says, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They made their living as fishermen. You know, just about every one of my uncles was a trawler at one point or another in their life. My dad, at one point when he was very young, was a fisherman. Used to fish, if I have the story right, on Last Island. South Louisiana makes a good part of its living through fishing. Now we have oil field that in the 40s and 50s that came in, but before that it was fishing and trapping and farming and not much else. But it's interesting, it says in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. They were fishermen, that was their trade. They heard the call, come, look, follow me, and let's fish for men. And they straightway, right away, left their nets and followed him. Let's go to the next verse. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. You know, you have a job. God wants you to keep that job. You have a family to support. God wants you to support them. You're in school. He wants you to continue being in school. There are some that he calls into the ministry. I've done a little bit of work down in Haiti and in Mexico and Honduras and Bahamas, but mainly in Haiti. Wanted to leave, sell everything I have. Tried it once, didn't quite make it. Today we have it easy. You can keep your job. You can stay in school. You can still, you know, be with your family and everything, but you can follow the Lord. You don't have to leave your father, leave your family. You don't have to give up your means of employment. You can follow him right where you are. Now, for 3.5 years, these men and 8 others besides, the 12 disciples, they left their jobs. For 3.5 years, they walked around Galilee and wherever else they went, they walked around and slept out in fields and what have you for 3.5 years. That's true. They followed him. But you can follow Jesus in your heart. I've said it before that the way you tell a Christian is on Saturday night, you don't find him there anymore. But Sunday, what do you know? He's in church. You can repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can say, Lord, I'm wrong for the things I've been doing. I want to stop, because your word says it. In place, you can follow Jesus. Now he says, you know, take up your cross and bear it. He says, etc., etc., but you don't have to give up your only visible means of support. You can follow him in the supermarket as you push in the buggy. Happen to run into somebody, strike up a conversation about beans. I like beans. Figuring out what bean, and somebody else is talking about what bean, and you, hey, you know, and you may end up with a conversation, and you may say, hey, I got a chance to tell somebody about what God did for me. You can testify of Jesus there. You know, everybody likes sports. I don't, but most people like sports. I mean, I like some sports, but I don't like football and whatever. And they make a good score and, you know, great, fantastic, go Saints or whatever. The idiot drops the ball and, well, you know, dirty words come out of your mouth. You can follow Jesus right there in front of the TV or in the dome by not letting them dirty words come out of your mouth. And that will be the evidence of a changed life. They'll know that you're Christians. They'll know something happened to you as you repent and you turn from your wicked ways and begin to live as a Christian should. But they immediately left the ship, left their father, left their nets, and followed him. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Went everywhere, preaching. At one point he says, look, you know, y'all go to this place and that place, and if they don't want to receive you there, don't worry, go to the next place. I mean, by the time this is all over, you still won't have gotten to every village to tell those people. But we have to be about the Father's business. We have to preach the gospel. I do it in foreign country here or there, do it on the radio. You can do it, as I said, at the supermarket, but you should do it. Because without Jesus, everyone gets voted off the island, let's say. But it says that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Oh, and if you've committed any sin, you'll be forgiven. Imagine that. It's a twofer. Healing is part of the gospel. Preach the kingdom. Fantastic. Let me tell you about Jesus, what he did for you. Let me tell you about sanctification. Let me tell you about the end times, etc. Oh, and let me tell you that God heals the sick. Now, my church doesn't believe that. Well, my Bible does. Part of the gospel. You know, God loves you. If you're sitting there, you've been sitting there, taking them pills, all them years, God can heal you. Break your leg? Hey, dial 911, and on the way to the hospital, call the pastor and let him pray too. Trust in God for healing. Hey, trust in doctors too. I get a headache, I'm popping pills, man. But God has healed me. I've told the testimony of my knee. Messed up my knee on delayed entry back a long time ago. I was going to go into the Navy, and they said, PDQ, permanently disqualified, can't go in. About a year or two afterward, God healed my knee. I injured my right wrist. And for 17 years, at times, I couldn't even pick up a Coke or a bottle of water. It was too heavy for me. Sometimes I could pick up 10, 20 pounds, but sometimes I couldn't hold a cup of coffee in my hand. 17 years, I'm scared of doctors. I believe in them, but I'm scared of them. They wanted to cut on me, and I said, I'm cutting out. Sorry, not interested. But God healed me. But it says he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And if that wasn't enough, we're going to say it again. And verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Got any problems? Look to Jesus. Physical problems, he can take care of you. Mental problems, man, that's where he specializes. Emotional problems, hurts, etc., that's what Jesus specializes in. Forget the shrink. Look to Jesus. You got problems, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone, as the hymn says. Don't care what your trouble is, don't care who left you, don't care who beat you, don't care, don't care, don't care. Go to Jesus. He can heal on the inside. But again, he says it again, and all the sick people that were there, doesn't matter what problem they had, Jesus took care of it. Torments. People are tormented with fear. People are tormented with all kind of things. People are afraid. People, I don't know, there's all kind of stuff, but he can take care of it for you. And those that were possessed with devils. You know, it's the 21st century. Nobody believes in that. Not anymore. Not a bit. Years back we did, and we were fools, I guess. Well, maybe not. the Bible is true. I don't care what you think. The Bible is true. And it says that Jesus cast out devils. His disciples cast out devils. I've been to Haiti. Could take the time to tell stories, I suppose, about some of the things I've seen. But you and me in America have seen people possessed with devils. And we didn't understand or didn't believe or whatever. We think it's normal for some people to be crazy. There's people on TV full of the devil. There's people in bars full of the devil. People on the corner full of the devil. Some people in church full of the devil, honestly. Demons are real. We're going to, at some point later on, go more in depth with that. But the Bible says devils or demons are real. And they torment people. And they mess with people's minds. And they get them to do all sorts of horrible things. But Jesus can deliver those people. One of my favorite verses, two verses actually, I guess, in Matthew chapter 8, we'll get there, verse 16 and 17, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Obviously, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 53. We might take God at his word and believe him. Believe him for salvation. Believe he's coming again. We ought to also believe that he heals the sick. And we also ought to believe that there are such things as demon spirits and that Jesus can deliver. He can cast out the spirits with his word. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.